Why do people sing? Have you ever thought about that? You may not realize that much of the Bible is about song. Man's ability to sing is unique to humans. Animals do not sing. And you say, oh, no. I got a cardinal that sings outside my bedroom window every day. Well, I hate to disappoint you, but that cardinal is actually saying to all other cardinals, you stay out of here, I'm going to peck your beak off. Animal songs are to warn others. Animal songs are to attract mates. Animal songs are to defend, to communicate. But only humans can sing, no matter what their condition. When my son, Tim, who was blind, mentally challenged, had cerebral palsy, muscular dystrophy, all wrapped up in one little baby, one little boy, one little adult, he could sing like a bird. On television right now, there's some attention paid to a guy named Cody Lee. Cody Lee is blind. Cody Lee is a victim of one of the many disabilities that's going around. And it was kind of fun to watch him the very first time that he was on the program, which is a popular television live show. Here this kid walks in, led by his mother, and you can see the judges all sitting back and, what's going to happen here? Cody Lee sat down at the piano and sang a beautiful song. And he won that competition. He went to Las Vegas. He has had a show in Las Vegas, and he was on the same program this last week. Glenn Langston, born blind. He's been here many times. I hope he'll be here again this next year. Glenn Langston has been blind since birth. And I have to tell you this story. He took us to a restaurant in Lafayette, Louisiana. We were going to have Cajun food. And the owner of the restaurant stood up and said, well, Glenn Langston's with us tonight. I want him to sing for us. And Glenn got up and for half an hour sang wonderful, wonderful songs. And I was sitting next to a guy who was not a believer. And he said, you know who that guy is? I said, no, tell me about him. He said, well, he's a preacher. He's blind. But I've been listening to his message. See, we can sing. Don't tell me you're too disadvantaged to sing. There ain't no such animal. We can all sing. And did you know that the book of Psalms in your Bible is mostly about songs and singing? Let me give you a couple of quotes. Psalms 30 and verse 4. Sing unto the Lord, O ye saints of his, and give thanks at the remembrance of his holiness. Psalms 57, 9. I will praise you, O Lord, among the people. I will sing unto you among the nations. Psalms 95, verse 1. O come, let us sing unto the Lord, and let us make a joyful noise to the rock of our salvation. Psalms 96, verses 1 and 2. Oh, sing unto the Lord a new song. Sing unto the Lord, all the earth. Sing unto the Lord. Bless his name. Show forth his salvation day to day. And finally, Psalms 147 and verse 7. Sing unto the Lord with thanksgiving. Sing praise unto our God. Did you know that the ancients memorized these psalms? They didn't have songbooks. They didn't have song leaders. But they were able to use various methods to thank God. Two of the psalms, Psalms 9 and Psalms 119, are acrostics. What that means is that the song had the first letter of the alphabet, A for this, B for this, C for this, D for this. Psalms 9 and Psalms 119 are both acrostics. And Genesis 1 is actually a song. Did you know that? Genesis 1 is actually a song. Now, that doesn't mean it was not accurate. It does not mean it was not a historical document. It simply indicates that it was something to be remembered. Isaiah 52, beginning with verse 7, says, how beautiful upon the mountains are the feet of him who brings good tidings that publish peace, and brings good tidings of good and publish salvation, that says to Zion, thy God reigns. Your workmen shall lift up the voice, and with the voice together shall they sing. For they shall see eye to eye when the Lord brings again Zion. Break forth with joy. Sing together, you waste places of Jerusalem, for the Lord has comforted his people. He has redeemed Jerusalem. The Lord has made bare his holy arm in the eyes of all the nations. And all the ends of the earth shall see the salvation of our God. Isaiah had a considerable number of prophecies about the coming of Jesus, and emphasize the importance of singing. You know, the history of Christianity has not been as good as that. 500 years ago, the Roman Catholic Church decided who could sing. See, they didn't have songbooks. And so the Catholic Church decided that, well, you got a good voice, you can sing. So most of the time people listened. And one of the things the Reformation did was to reinstitute singing. People got involved. The Bible is very clear about this. Romans 5:19 says, for this cause I will confess about you to the Gentiles and sing unto your name. 1 Corinthians 14:15, I will pray with the spirit and I will pray with the understanding also. I will sing with the spirit and I will sing with the understanding also. Hebrews 2 and verse 12, I will declare your name to my brethren. In the midst of the church, I will sing praise to you. You know, non-Christians don't like to sing. And if you want a demonstration of that, look at the next time you see the national anthem sung. What's happening? Well, they've got a very popular singer singing a solo because they have learned that people in the stands won't sing the national anthem. You are not the recipient of worship. We don't sing just because we like the song. So what do we get out of singing? Let me call your attention to a couple of things. Number one, singing eliminates boredom. You know, if you haven't been on the Notre Dame campus, one of the things you might do sometime is to go to the church on the campus near the Gold Dome at Notre Dame. It's an incredible place. I used to go in there to study. It was quiet. There were some other students who came in there because they were able to create in the atmosphere of that church. Ancient people created monuments because they had no capacity to do the things that created faith. Some of you know about these: Stonehenge, Easter Island. Or for that matter, when you drive down the highway, those big, huge, metallic crosses that you see. Effingham, Illinois is one that I go by all the time, and it's kind of interesting. There's just a great, big, huge, metallic cross there. And the times that I've looked over at the parking lot, it was completely empty. Why? What use did they have? How much traffic do they generate day to day? And have you ever wondered why the pop singers ask the audience to sing along? That drives my wife nuts. You know, I wanted to hear so-and-so sing a song, and they got the audience singing a song. Why does that happen? Well, the pop singers don't want the audience to go to sleep. They have learned that involvement destroys boredom. Denise warned me. She said, "You better be interesting this morning because I went to a hockey game last night and I'm going to go to sleep if you don't." Well, at least she's honest. But singing also brings unity. Singing brings unity. Have you ever wondered why the military branches have songs? Every branch of our military service has a song. I was in the Army. Over hill, over dale, we have hit the dusty road. I still remember that silly song. Why? Off we go into the wild blue yonder. What's that? Air Force. I could sing all four of them. Why? Why do we sing at retreats? Why do I, during VBS, lead the kids in singing? Why is there singing at a youth rally? Because it brings unity. We can't do corporate singing by ourselves alone. If you've been in our classes on Wednesday night and Sunday night, we start out singing. 2, 3, 4 songs. One of my favorite stories on this is that I was watching a television program one time that had Lee Greenwood singing the song he wrote called "God Bless America." And for those of you who are not country music fans, Lee Greenwood is a country and western singer. And he was singing on an aircraft carrier in the Iraq situation. And he started out singing "God Bless the USA." And the camera panned across the audience, and everybody's sitting there very likely listening to Greenwood sing his song. And all of a sudden, Greenwood stopped singing. And he said to the audience, and remember now, this is an aircraft carrier. There's thousands of people there, nurses, soldiers, all kinds of people. Guys in the engine room, mechanics. And the agreement said, you know, you're out here together. We all don't know what's going to happen. The invasion is coming soon. But I think it would be more appropriate if you would sing this song with me. You know it. You've heard it. And so he started it again with the audience participating. And he got to the end of the first stanza, and when the camera started looking, you could see people were on their feet and were getting emotional. And by the time he got to the end of his song, everybody was singing. You saw the little petite nurse from the medical establishment holding hands with the mechanic from the engine room, singing together, feeling the spirit of unity. Don't you understand that one of the reasons we sing here is because it unites us? The problem we have is with instrumental music is not because we have any objection to music or to instrumental music. But worship, as God calls it to, involves every person being involved, being united by singing together. And singing is a nonsensical expression of love. How many of the songs that we hear express our love for another person? Hey man, Valentine's Day coming up. It's Wednesday. Have you got things arranged for Wednesday? Let me ask you something. Do you think your wife or whatever is really concerned about the quality of what you do? Or is she more concerned about how you express your love? What is a love sonnet? See, I suggest to you that refusing to sing is denying our love for God. It is that important. You think God is concerned about quality? You understand that four-part harmony is a modern invention? The psalmist didn't have four-part harmony. There was no such thing as bass and tenor and soprano and what have you. As a matter of fact, they pretty much sang monotones. My wife still does that. Because Cindy's tone deaf, and she sings like a bird. One note, but we need to understand that women are not concerned about the quality of what their husband does, but they are concerned about their love, and similarly, we need to be concerned about our love for God. And an opportunity to present that to God in song. Let me point out to you that singing can be done on the behalf of others in times of stress. Why do we sing at a funeral? I don't think I've ever been to a funeral where there wasn't some kind of a song. Why do we do that? Why do we see the singing at a national memorial service? When you think of Martin Luther King, what do you think of? We shall overcome. A song. And singing is frequently a way of praising someone. All right, let me tap into some of you old codgers that are here. Remember the song, Abraham, Martin, and John? Boy, that goes way back. What was that song about? Abraham, Martin, and John. That was a time in our country when the irresponsible connection of racism was running rampant. And this song, Abraham, Martin, and John, referred to Abraham Lincoln, John F. Kennedy, and Martin Luther King. And don't you understand that the purpose of that whole song was a way of praising the message of equality and the stupidity of racism? A little later, there was a song called Big Bad John, Jimmy Dean, getting closer to modern times. What was that about? It was about the terrible structure of a coal mine and men who were called to work in that mine. It was written for that purpose. Jimmy Dean sang it for that purpose. I don't know whether you notice this or not, but in your songbook, this book, those of you on Zoom, do you know that there are 107 praise songs in that book? 107 praise songs. Well, how many songs are there on giving? 15. How many funeral songs? 20. How many songs on national issues? 6. Oh, you notice it or not, but in the back of the songbook, and those of us that are involved in worship and in classes use it all the time, there's a whole section in which they tell you what the purpose of the song was so you can decide what you want to use. They don't have page numbers in it. It's in the back right in front of first lines and titles. You and I need to make singing a song a tool of unity. We need to make singing an outreach. We need to make singing a joy. You know, Timbers Nursing Home loves for us to come. I've been told that over and over and over by both the residents and by the nursing staff. And why is that? Because we sing and we encourage them to sing with us. We have a couple of guys who are blind. We've tried to modify our songs a little bit so we'll sing songs they know. I've had some guys tell me, well, you know, there's a lot of other groups come in here and they play their guitars and they play their organ, but I just have to sit there and listen. And I don't want to just sit and listen. I want to participate. I want to sing to God. I want to thank God for what I have. You know, I've asked Bill to lead number 376. Let me encourage you to turn there for a minute. As we close our service today, I don't know why this song became a Christmas song. I guess it's because it talks about the birth of Jesus in an indirect way. But this is a song of joy. This is a song of praise. And we're all familiar with the first verse, but I'd like to call your attention to the other verses. Let men their songs employ. while fields and floods and rocks and plains repeat the sounding joy. Repeat the sounding joy. That's a song of beauty, a song of commitment, a song that should unite us and bring us to the purpose of our outreach in the world in which we live. So let's close by singing number 376. Would you stand, please, as we sing this song?